Welcome to today's Family Experience, helping families connect in a world that's pulling families apart. My name is Chuck Higley, and I lead the team here at Project Patch, home of the Family Experience, our youth ranch, and this podcast blog, and a bunch of other resources. Hey, we're really excited about a lot of things that are happening around right now as far as parent seminars, neat things that are happening as far as our Family Experience. And so if you aren't familiar with what we do there, head on over to projectpatch.org and check it out and get caught up with all the different things that are going on. Or you can go to todaysfamilyexperience.com, which is our blog, podcast, seminar hub, and get all those things. So really excited about that. Been busy, which means you don't hear too much about the podcast, but had a chance to record a interview, and that is one of the things that really gets me motivated. And so I had a fantastic time getting to know Matt Dobschutz a little bit better. It was about a year ago that I was at a conference, and this woman that I was talking to about some of the work that we're doing with our seminars, specifically looking at helping parents around that topic of keeping their kids porn free, she suggested that I look up a podcast called Porn Free Radio. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, anytime you type into a computer those words porn, it creates a little bit of anxiety. And so when I went to iTunes and hunted him down for Matt Dobschutz and Porn Free Radio, there was a little bit of trepidation there. You know, what are people going to think when they look at my list of podcasts? But as soon as I started listening to Matt, all that fear went away, because I just discovered a resource that is worth listening to every single week. Matt's different than a lot of people. Is a lot of people out there are spending a lot of time creating some fear. I'm really focused on getting ultra scientific about the threat, or over spiritualizing it. And Matt kind of is in that middle ground where he just wants people to experience the same thing that he has, which is freedom. Active recovery, which takes some steps, and it's a neat journey that he's been down, and he's helped countless other people go through that. And so, you know, as soon as I started connecting with Matt, I knew that he was a great resource. It didn't occur to me really quickly. I mean, I use some of his stuff in our seminars, but over time, I really got the hankering that it'd be fantastic to have him on this show as an interview, because I think you as parents out there maybe sometimes are a little overwhelmed by what's happening, or maybe just don't have a grasp of how much hope and healing is available. And so my goal over the next two parts of this interview is that you'll get to know Matt a lot better, and that you'll get some resources that'll really empower you as you work with your kids. I'm not going to get into too much of a detail about Matt, just because his story becomes really clear during our interview. But one of the things I do want to really stress is that Matt really works with people that want to quit looking at porn. You know, it's at that point that people want to quit that he's there. He's not talking them into quitting, but once they decide they want to quit, he's got a lot of perspective, skills, insight that really help his audience. You know, as parents, the challenge that we have is that both our work is preventative as well as in a sense of recovery. And a lot of times our kids might be confused by the pornography, but they might not have come to that life point where they realize this isn't working for them anymore. And so it's a really unique role that we play as parents. It's one that is more important than ever. And so it's a little bit different than, you know, his typical audience. But I think as you listen to this, you'll understand some things that you can do to really help your kids. And so over the next two podcasts, I think you're going to enjoy learning about Matt and getting connected. As always, there's show notes on todaysfamilyexperience.com. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Chuck. How you doing?
Hey, doing fantastic. Hope you enjoy it. Have you with us today. One of the things that as I've gotten to know you over your podcast that you do, the Porn Free Radio, you've been doing it for a while. We'll talk more about that as we go in, but you're a husband, you're a father, married 16 years, raising boys. And I think the thing that stood out to me that is awesome is that you're in recovery, and part of your recovery is just taking that process that you've learned and sharing it with other people out there in order to bring them hope and healing. What has really surprised you about that aspect of ministering to people out of your own pain?
I mean, I think the biggest surprise that we don't think of, it seems counterintuitive, that you actually find power in your weakness, that You know, an author friend that I know, Gordon Dalby, said that the power is in the wound. And you don't think of that when you're in pain, that this pain is going to be used to make, you know, to create power and opportunities. And, but it's true. And, you know, I think even in there's a verse that in the Bible about, you know, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. I've really found that to be true. And that was surprising because when you're coming, like with my thing, struggling with pornography in secret, and when it was exposed, it was like the most painful thing ever and embarrassing and humiliating. So at that time, I had no perspective of, wow, this will be helpful to people.
Yeah,
that this will actually serve a purpose, that God will use this to free others. You know, it didn't go through my head, but the more I've done it, I go, wow, that was really important that this happened and that I went through this journey.
What amazes me, and we'll get into your story, but the fear that goes through so many people that are involved with pornography, and especially even the kids that we're talking about specifically today, is if someone finds out, you know, just right. that fear of being found and the rejection that's there. And what you've really found is that there's immense love on the other side.
Absolutely. I mean, I get people emailing me all the time or reaching out to me, and they really want to connect with me because they resonate with the message. They really relate. But when I say, who knows about this? I've literally had guys say, just you. Mm. Like, you're the only person I've told. Or just my wife knows, and she knows very little because I've hidden it. And I'm thinking, man, this guy is really alone and really cut off, and he's not able to really, he's not going to grow and be able to get past this without others. But there's such a barrier, you know, and so when I say, you know, you need others to recover, they hate to hear that. Mm-hmm. They want to... They're hoping if they talk to me or ask me a question or if I give them a resource that they could just do it in secret and make it work. I don't do that. I say all the time, you need other people. And that it's, they don't want to hear it sometimes.
Yeah. You
know, they want to still sort of manage recovery like they're managing their addiction, you know, by secrets and hiding, and that doesn't work.
And what I love about your story and what you share is that, and I think what's going to bring a lot of encouragement to the families that are listening, the parents that are listening, is that the pornography and the masturbation, this whole world that is creating a really small world, and the perception of the world as a place that if they only knew me would reject me. And what you're sharing is going ahead of so many people and saying, no, this world doesn't need to hold you. You can get away from this world. And in your recovery, there is a newfound joy. There's a newfound belonging and peace. And there's a whole new world of relationships on the other side.
Yeah. I mean, I really felt trapped by pornography, masturbation, trapped in isolation and fantasy. And what was really, you know, fueling it was this lie that I was unlovable. Hmm. And I somehow picked that up as a kid. And when I discovered porn as a young person, it was so numbing and it just medicated this feeling that I was unlovable, that's what really hooked me initially, was I was trying to fill this void, this emotional need, with pornography, even as a young person. And what happened in the exposure and in my recovery, this part of me, this lie that I was unlovable, got exposed. And that's what I really discovered. And the way I learned it, that I was lovable, was the way people responded to me in recovery. When I told the truth about what had happened to me and what I had gotten addicted to and how painful it was, people really responded warmly to me. I mean, I had coworkers who were just regular guys, not even church guys, who were very compassionate when I told them about the struggle. Friends' wives, you know, my biggest fear was, oh, what if my friends' wives, what would they think of me? You know, because like for some reason, a guy maybe you think can understand, but a woman at church, you know, you wouldn't necessarily think would totally understand your darkest secrets. And, you know, I had a woman the other day who I respect and like. She goes, oh, I listened to one of your podcasts, episode 53 or something. And I was just like, at first I was sort of embarrassed. Mm-hmm. And then another part of me was like, she really liked it and got a lot of value out of it. And I don't have to hide. That's who I am. And so that's been a really powerful thing for me.
So your journey into pornography, you share online, and I really do encourage people to go to your website, pornfreeradio.com, because you tell your story there and you write it out in detail, as well as you have some podcast episodes where you talk it through. But just kind of a summary, you were a young kid, about 7 years old, when you first saw your first images.
Yeah, I was at a gas station. I was with my grandmother. My hand sort of reached up for a magazine that looked a little interesting, and I opened it, and right then I saw this nude woman, an adult nude woman on a bed, and it was kind of shocking, but I immediately knew that I was interested in that. And I remember I was in first grade, and I ran into another first grade friend, and we hadn't seen each other for a while. I had moved in first grade from Tennessee to Florida, and I went back to Tennessee and ran into one of my old buddies. And I said, you wouldn't believe what I just saw or found. Mm-hmm. And he had just discovered a magazine too. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of shared this information, but that was the only person I ever talked to about this, you know, probably till I was in college.
And it progressed for you to a point of, stealing some magazines, eventually buying magazines, eventually videos, and it grew in its scope over time.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that it was almost like as I matured as a kid, like both went through puberty and stuff, my addiction matured also. You know, at first it was these little things, and then it was a regular habit, and I stole magazines, and then I bought magazines, and then rented videos, and then I, as luck would have it, got involved in the internet right after I got out of college. So I started my first internet job in 1995, and so I'd always been on the internet. I was a pretty early adopter, and it wasn't long after, probably 95, I started looking at things online.
I think for a lot of parents, and I'm sure there's dads and moms that are listening that can relate to your story. You know, they remember pornography when it was in gas stations, maybe even in the plastic wrappers and behind the counters. And it's hard to maybe understand for the kids that are growing up now, the 7-year-olds now that are seeing pornography for the first time, they are seeing it different ways. You know, so it's most likely coming up on a device. And if they want to see it again, they don't have the hurdles that you went through.
Right. Yeah. I share it with my audience a lot. Is there were a lot of friction points in the old days. You needed money. You needed to go to a place. You needed to sometimes ask someone for something if you wanted to buy it. There were a number of places where you could easily chicken out. And so you really had to be addicted to push through all that, the friction to use porn. Whereas now there's no friction. Mm-hmm. There's just nothing. There's nothing that really is going to stop you if you want to pursue it. And so a lot of what I do and what I teach people, adults, is how to put some friction between them and the porn. Through strategies, through tools, through mindset, all, you know, trying to use everything we can to create some distance between us and the porn.
And a lot of, I assume that as a dad of boys, that idea of creating friction in their life is something that, that does play a part in how you're trying to help your kids.
Yeah. I mean, I'm starting to create some friction just in terms of, some tight internet security and the way that they access stuff and, a lot of boundaries and then also, accountability with how they use the internet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for example, we don't allow them to use YouTube unsupervised.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking to them about, sharing with us if friends are using YouTube or, you know, they're not supposed to watch YouTube outside of the house.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. And then I'm getting more aggressive with some tracking but then talking about stuff too. It's not like I'm just, you know, putting the iron fist down. there's a book that's really popular on Amazon called Good Pictures, Bad Pictures. And, you know, one of the things that the author makes the point of, and you may or may not like this book, it may not have everything perfectly for your situation, but the big thing that she makes clear is our kids are going to be exposed to lots of things. And so we need to train them to how to think in regards to pornography, what to do when they see it, how to keep away from it. Mm-hmm. Basically make them critical thinkers.
Mm-hmm.
And take action, as opposed to just thinking that somehow devices and filtering is going to solve all our problems. So
yeah.
I think one thing I'm going to start doing with my kids, or I'm already started doing, is talking to them and helping them to be critical thinkers, so that they can make good choices for what they take in.
Well, and that's a huge, with a lot of the talking that I do with parents is that a lot of us want technology to solve technology's problems. You know, if the internet could be porn free, then we'd have no problem. But what I find is that pornography has a way of working into every single device. And at some point kids will have an unprotected phone. They're going to have they'll have ready access. And at that point, are we better with the kids' hearts and minds being capable and self-disciplined and owning their own purity? Or is it us that's still trying to shelter them and push back the forces?
Yeah. I mean, I did a podcast a few months ago related to temptation. And what we do a lot in our culture is we externalize temptation. So we say that porn, we put it on porn. We put it on the scantily clad woman, the mm-hmm. bikini at the beach, the sexual TV show, or all those types of things. It's always about something. But I think that temptation really comes from within. It comes from our heart, you know, kind of wanting to go after this sort of illicit thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you don't deal with the heart, and then I think that, yeah, you're always going to be in a situation where the tools, the filters, the strategies aren't going to work if you don't deal with the inside. And mm-hmm. I think that's one thing we can do with our kids is talk to them about their motivation, talk to them about, you know, what's going on in the inside. Like, for example, you know, my parents never talked to me about masturbation or pornography. But even more alarming is they never really saw that part of me that was unlovable. You know, they didn't know what was going on with me. And there were signs. There were signs that I struggled with. I struggled with touch. Like, I didn't like to be hugged. I struggled with some other types of things that a very keen parent might have picked up on. But my parents just didn't see it. They didn't have the tools.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of felt lost a little bit and unseen growing up. So So when porn came along, of course I gravitated towards it, and I also used it to sort of mitigate those feelings. But I think if we were talking more about my emotions and my feelings, I think there might have been an opportunity to not only get some help with the pornography, but also to get some help with what was going on inside.
Yeah. And that's powerful, just because in a way, well, could you, you define it really, really well, what, your definition of addiction.
Yeah. The definition for addiction, it's a simple one. And I actually heard this in a 12-step meeting where the person sharing just basically said, a simple definition for an addict is someone who substitutes a physical thing to meet an emotional or spiritual need. So one thing, and we get hung up on the word addict, addiction, that whole thing, you know, because we've seen the disease model, or people, you know, or sometimes if you're a person of faith, there's this, you know, this idea that I'm identifying as an addict, that type of thing. But I think it's so clear, even with kids, you can see when they're substituting something physical to meet an emotional or spiritual need. I mean, you know, I have a kid right now who loves screens. He loves Nintendo. He loves video games. If you, you know, if there were no boundaries in our house, he would choose screens all the time. Mm-hmm. And so I have to help him choose different things. I have to help him be in touch with his emotions and have balance. Like, because just being left on his own, he will go to the screen. And so is he an addict? Well, sure, he's an addict. But it doesn't mean that he can't be trained and helped to deal with emotions. So, for example, that my little guy, we go to a therapist with him every couple weeks to talk about feelings. And he's not a real verbal guy. And so he's getting new tools to deal with, you know, talking about his emotions and what's going on. And it's been really helpful. Yeah. It gives us a new way to talk to him about stuff. And so, yeah, we have the screens and we monitor and we have some boundaries on that. But we also are doing other things to help him have language to describe how he's feeling when he gets upset, how to deal with those feelings.
Yeah. And that's powerful. What I love hearing about that, because you hear of people that maybe get rid of one addiction and jump to the next. It's just right. replacing it because something becomes socially too awkward or uncomfortable. And so what you're saying is that heart, you know, redeeming that heart and the emotions and the language and giving them the skill set, because if we had the skill set to meet that need, we wouldn't be trying to fit all this other stuff in. That's powerful.
Yeah. And, you know, so we, with children, we have to be asking what are their needs, and we're always should be asking this as parents. And, you know, it'd be easy to see if a kid had needs by their behaviors. And so, you know, with porn or these type of things, I would look for isolating behaviors. Are there places where they're withdrawing? Is there an overdependence on devices? Is there a lack of balance? You know, would the kid always be prefer to be in his room on his computer, on his phone, versus a kid who maybe reads, a kid who plays sports, who likes to watch TV, likes to be with his family, you know? You know what I mean? Like, if there's like a lack of balance. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's one thing I've been happy about with our kids, is seeing a lot of balance. Like, they go to, you know, they're both in sports. They play music. They have, you know, one likes video games. The other loves ESPN. You know, it's like they're kind of not, one's a Star Wars guy. The other guy is a Stephen Curry guy, you know, like basketball. And, but they like going to Awana, which is like a Bible group for kids. They like, where my kids are both adopted from Taiwan. So they love, you know, certain Chinese things, like they love Chinese food. You know, there's just a big variety. Yeah. They have multicultural friends. There's like a wide variety of of things that they're interested in. So I think that that's one thing that really is helpful, is if you can create a lot of balance for your kids, but also be asking, what are their needs?
Yeah. And you know, as you're sharing this, that's the sadness that I, so for a kid that is into pornography, or a kid that can't quit video games, you know, not just obsession, but to the point that it's life interfering, friendship interfering.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, the sadness. And I remember, even as my childhood, as I was exposed to stuff and got involved with stuff, the loss that was there, you know, realizing that life is rich and full, but it becomes really small and dark. And the sadness we should feel for our kids to know that they are being pulled into that world.
Yeah. I mean, I get a lot of teenagers emailing me you know, some, their parents are involved. Some, the parents don't have any idea. But the one thing that has been, and I'm not one of these guys who goes around saying, oh, it's worse than ever now, our culture is that kind of thing. But I would say the one thing that I think is interesting is some of the teenagers who've reached out to me are struggling with certain types of fetishes and things like very dark forms of pornography. And I'm thinking, wow, this is really interesting that a 15-year-old has gotten hooked on this dark pornography. And so it does seem like there is something that maybe is a little different about this new generation, where they're just getting exposed to things that maybe weren't even out there when we were coming up.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's been clear as I've spent time listening to Matt, and now as I spent that time talking to him, and I apologize for some of you out there, is that we were actually on Skype, so I could see him, and so both of us were talking with our hands and using all sorts of funny illustrations at times. So hopefully you still didn't lose too much of our communication. But I think what's clear is that Matt knows what he's talking about. He's passionate about helping people become unstuck, becoming porn-free, and I hope that came through real clear for you. Part 2 will be released next week, working on some of the show notes for that. But it's really going to focus on some strategies, some tools that we can use as parents to really get us moving ahead with our kids. You know, the resources mentioned during this interview are available on todaysfamilyexperience.com. Look for the episode titled Raising Porn-Free Kids, Part 1. You know, I hope that you're encouraged by it. And even though the threat of pornography can bring, you know, a lot of fear and uncertainty to our lives, I hope that you come away understanding that there's more that we can do about this threat. That it's not something that we just have to worry about, that we can really help our kids avoid not only the trap of it, but if our kids are, you know, if we see that our kids are seeing pornography or maybe some other addiction, that there is freedom available for them. You know, a couple things. Could you do me a favor? If this information was helpful for you, could you share it with other people? That's as easy as going to the show notes and hitting share onto your Facebook or Twitter or however else you like to connect with people online. The other thing that would be a huge help is if you could go to iTunes, if you're on the Mac devices, and leave a real quick review. That really goes a long way in helping other people hear about us, find out about us. So that's it for today. You know, really encourage you, go out there, connect with your family, connect with your kids. This is the best time to have that conversation, and we can help at thefamilyexperience.org.